On January 10th, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a new federal agency created by the Dodd-Frank Act, issued what it called its most important rule yet, the ability to repay rule. Under this new rule, mortgage borrowers would have a defense to foreclosure if the lender did not have a reasonable, good faith belief that the borrower could repay the mortgage at the time of the loan. This rule was passed to address some of the perceived lending abuses that may have contributed to the housing bubble and the 2008 financial crisis. Of course, there are some details. First, lenders can prove that they made a reasonable, good faith assessment of a borrower's ability to repay by providing documents showing that the lender verified the borrower's income, assets, employment status, and credit history. In addition, the lender can show that it relied on various debt-to-income ratios based on this information and information regarding the borrower's total debt, including other loans, alimony, and child support. However, in determining these ratios, lenders must use the maximum payment in the mortgage's payment schedule, ensuring that the lender isn't merely determining that the borrower could repay according to short teaser rates or no interest periods or payments before a large balloon payment. Second, certain qualifying mortgages receive a conclusive presumption that the lender complied with the rule. A qualifying mortgage would be a standard 30-year mortgage with either a fixed or floating rate. However, the mortgage can have no balloon payments, no interest periods, no negative amortization, and points and fees can't exceed 3% of the loan amount. Furthermore, qualifying mortgages cannot be issued on a no-doc basis, in which borrowers don't need to verify credit information. Finally, lenders must stay below a maximum debt-to-income ratio based on the highest payment for the first 5 years of the loan. A second tier of mortgages, qualifying high-priced mortgages, would enjoy a rebuttable presumption, but not a conclusive one. A mortgage is high-priced if it is 1.5 percentage points above the prime rate for a first lien mortgage. For all other mortgages, the lender would have the burden of proving that it made a reasonable assessment of the borrower's ability to repay. These requirements and the threat that foreclosure will be stalled or prohibited could obviously make the mortgage application process lengthier and more costly. Lenders will be wary to make riskier non-qualifying mortgages, resulting in more borrowers being rejected. However, that might be okay. Credit is a funny thing. Not having access to credit can harm would-be homeowners, business owners, and consumers. However, over-indebtedness can also harm borrowers and, on a larger scale, the lending industry. Historically, we have allowed lenders to determine for themselves how much risk they would be willing to take in the extension of credit to riskier borrowers. However, following the financial crisis, we learned that mortgage originators' ability to resell loans into secondary markets may have made them eager to take on more risk that they would eventually pass on to others. The new ability to repay rule would apply not only to originators, but also to purchasers of those mortgages. But what about the borrowers? At the time of the loan, don't borrowers know their ability to repay as well as the lenders? Why should the lender bear the burden of a bad loan, but not the borrower bear the burden of foreclosure? Perhaps we think that borrowers are subject to over-optimism, but lenders should be able to make better decisions and therefore better bear the burden of making good lending decisions. On the other hand, allowing defaulting borrowers to say that the lender should have known better seems, well, a little risky. This is Christine Hurt.